Now we're going to have five Bible readings from the Gospel according to St. John. We begin where John begins in chapter 1, reading verses 1 to 5, which can be found in page 809 of the Pew Bibles. John 1, reading from verse 1. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Here ends the first reading. We turn to chapter 3, to perhaps one of the best known verses in the whole of the Bible, verse 16. To 21, that can be found on page 811. For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him. But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants. Here ends the second reading. We move to chapter 8, verses 31 and 32 on page 817. Chapter 8, reading from verse 31. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful in my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Here ends the third reading. Chapter 15, verse 6 on page 824, gives a warning to those who do not remain faithful. Chapter 15, reading verse 6. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. Here ends the fourth reading. And finally to John 20, verses 30 and 31 on page 828. Where John, the disciple and author of this version of the Gospel, gives his reason and purpose for writing it. John 20, reading from verse 30. The disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. To God be the glory and the praise in the reading of his word. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. Back in the late 1960s, legend is told of a hunter in the jungle who came upon a huge dead elephant with a pygmy standing beside it. Amazed, the hunter asked, "Did you kill that?" The pygmy answered, "Yes." Doubting what he could see with his own eyes, the hunter questioned further, "How could a little guy like you kill a huge beast like that?" The pygmy said with a straight face, "I killed it with my club." The astonished hunter asked, "How big is your club?" The pygmy replied, "There's about 60 of us,
Say John 3:16 to someone outside of the church club, and you may very well be met with a blank expression. But say it to anyone, if not all, who have heard the good news of Jesus Christ, and these words will form in their minds. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I quote from the King James Version of the Bible because that's what I learned from when I was younger, but whatever translation or version people use, although the words may be slightly different, the meaning behind those words remains forever the same. That verse is often used by Christians to bear witness to their faith. I've lost count of the number of sports people I've seen, footballers and athletes alike, who in the euphoria of triumphant victory raise their tops to reveal emblazoned across their chest on t-shirts below the slogan, John 3:16. I often wonder what non-church people think when they see that simple message. I'm sure some have asked, what does that mean? And I wouldn't be surprised to find that the Lord had placed some unsuspecting Christian witness nearby to give them an answer, and in so doing, set them on the path to salvation and everlasting life. For Christian believers, when they see John 3:16, it reminds them of the foundation of our faith. It is the core message of the Bible and the central focus of the gospel according to John. It's all about Jesus, who he is, what he's done for us, and what it means for us. The other gospel writers may have been addressing other issues, like the persecution the new believers were feeling from the Jewish religious hierarchy and the Roman authorities, or the divisions that were already starting to appear within themselves about how to be religious. John's message focuses on Jesus. Everything else is secondary to John, and it's a message that all believers need to listen to this day as much as they needed to hear it thousands of years ago. It's all about Jesus. John's version of the gospel is the last of the four to be written. And from its content, it's clear that John had access to the versions of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John writes to inspire faith in someone he knew intimately. He describes himself as the disciple Jesus loved, and the gospel he wrote has become known by many as the beloved gospel. In its pages, we encounter the likes of Nicodemus, Doubting Thomas, Lazarus, and the Samaritan woman at the well. And we find some of the Lord's most memorable sayings, his longest sermons, and his most profound miracles. Here in the pages of John, we meet God face to face. This portrait of Jesus that reveals the time of his existence, the essence of his identity, his relationship to God the Father, and his significance for the world, is written by an eyewitness who was one of the disciples closest to Jesus. Along with his brother James and Peter, the rock, John formed an inner circle that journeyed with Jesus throughout his earthly ministry. They were the ones who were privy to the Lord's transfiguration when he led them up a high mountain to be alone with him. As they watched, Jesus' appearance was transformed and his clothes became dazzling white, far whiter than an earthly bleach could ever make them, as Elijah and Moses appeared and began talking with Jesus. As Jesus died on the cross, it was John who was asked to take care of his mother Mary. John is credited with writing 5 books in the New Testament, 4 with his name on them, and the book of Revelation. John was the only one of the 11 faithful disciples who wasn't martyred for his faith, though that was not for the lack of trying on the part of the Romans, who at one point boiled him in oil. He is perhaps the best eyewitness we could have of the life of Jesus, but he is not to be confused with John the Baptist, who came to prepare the way for Jesus. John writes to inspire faith, as it says in chapter 20. Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. John also writes what Jesus said in chapter 15. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. John writes to awaken faith in unbelievers and sustain faith in believers, and in that way lead both to eternal life. And there may be no other book in the whole of the Bible to help seekers and believers alike to keep on trusting and treasuring Christ above all. There are perhaps two common reactions among unbelievers to the gospel message that John writes about. One is that they often think they're too good for it. They aren't that bad. They're certainly not as bad as some, and therefore God will probably let them slide into heaven on judgment day. The other reaction is that sometimes they are extremely acutely aware of their sin. They are convinced that they have crossed the line that makes them unforgivable. They believe that only hell awaits them, for surely God in his righteousness would not be able to accept them as low as they have sunk. So they reject the gospel, thinking, well, that's a lovely story, a story of salvation, but no holy God would love me in reality. Sadly, that reaction often affects believers as well. For even after we receive Jesus as our Lord, we all sin in many ways every day. Not one of us has ever had a perfect day. Sometimes as believers, we can be so disappointed with our own sin, our own failures from day to day, that it begins to wear away our confidence in Christ. We begin to doubt our position with God, for surely no real Christian would behave like we do. And we wonder how a holy and righteous judge could continue to look upon us in mercy. Perhaps you have fallen into some grievous sin, yielded to some especially wicked temptation, and as a result you are unable to escape guilty feelings. And when you feel guilty all over, it's very hard to believe that you are forgiven. The truth in John's gospel is especially for you, sinner and saint alike, because it's all about Jesus and what he has done for you. Let me ask you, do you ever have days that you feel inadequate no matter what you do? Do you ever feel unworthy because of something that happened in your past or because of mistakes you've made? Have you ever been told that you are nothing, that you are worthless, that you don't matter? No matter what you've done, no matter what you've been told, no matter what you think or believe about yourself, know that Jesus Christ, the one that John portrayed in the gospel, loves you unconditionally. As followers of Christ, we may sometimes feel we have to earn his love or prove we are deserving of his grace. And if that were true, it would make what he did on the cross of Calvary incomplete or lacking in some way. The truth is, God's forgiveness is for you, regardless of the color of your skin, your age or gender, your religion or your sinfulness. Jesus' sacrifice is enough to redeem you, full stop. John's gospel will leave you in no doubt that you are loved with an everlasting love that you cannot escape from. That you are more than what happened to you or what's been taken from you. That you are more than the choices that you've made, more than the sum of your past mistakes, more than the problems that you create. You are more than yourself because of how Jesus feels about you. The good news contained in all of the Gospels is not about what you've done or what you've achieved. It's not about what you've not done. It's about Jesus, about who he is and what he has done. And don't take my word for it. Listen to what Jesus himself said. John 6, verse 35. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. John 8, verse 12. I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. John 10, verse 9. I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. And verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for his sheep. John 11, verse 25. I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. John 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. John 15, verses 1 and 5. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Seven I am claims of Jesus contained in the Gospel according to John that describe our Saviour, the one who is so moved with compassion for our suffering that he acted to ensure it was not without hope. The Lord Jesus is the only one who can help us, for apart from him, we can do nothing. There is no club big enough here on earth to deal with the beast of our sin. If you think you can defeat it by yourself, or that others will help you, then you are deceived. Only through the grace of Jesus Christ can anyone be redeemed, be they sinner or saint, believer or unbeliever. I would encourage you and challenge you to read the Gospel according to John, not thinking about yourself, but dwell on Christ and discover who he is and what you mean to him. Discover someone who is willing to touch you where you are and make you clean. In the words of a more modern hero of the faith, Corrie ten Boom, you will discover that there is no pit you can fall into that is so deep that the love of God for you is not deeper still. And where sin abounds, there grace superabounds. Jesus loves you. Jesus rejoices over you. Jesus is reaching out a hand to you right now. Let him love you. Let him touch your soul and transform you from within today. For his name's sake, amen. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, this world tries to drag us away from you, to tempt us away, to say that other things are more important. Lord, help us not be blinkered. Help us not be distracted. Help us focus on Jesus Christ, who he is and what he's done for us. His great love for us, his mercy, his grace, his righteousness. Help us realize who Jesus is and how much he wants to spend eternity with us. Lord, we struggle to think of anybody we want to spend eternity with. But you, Lord, even though you know all our faults, gave your life so that we could spend eternity with you. Lord, let us never forget. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.